Welcome to Invasion of Privacy. I'm Kate Wolf.
And I'm CG Erickson.
And today we have two amazing comedians. We have Buddy Fitzpatrick and Frank Spagnola.
Thank you for having me, Kate and CG.
I was waiting for you to say something, Buddy, before I chimed in.
Go right ahead.
Sorry, guys.
Thank you for having us, Buddy and Siege. Kate and Siege.
You know what? People get Kate and I confused all the time, right, Kate? We're so sick of it.
It's like every club.
Every time.
Now I'm going to have to go do a mashup of you and Kate.
I'm telling you, so I walk into clubs sometimes and they're like, hey, Kate, well, I mean, Buddy, if it's bizarre.
Mm-hmm. Well, Buddy has a podcast I was just on called And the Word Is, and I had a ton of fun. I'll let you explain what it is. But then Frank also has a really cool one that I've been on called Night Meds, and that's about the paranormal. And I kind of want to get into both today.
It's called Night Meds?
Mm-hmm.
I like that a lot. Put you right out. Or get you right ready to, you know, get you real cozy before bed. That's great.
It's very ASMR.
So I guess first I'll ask you, Buddy, what made you come up with a podcast game show kind of thing around words? I did it once. I was nervous as hell before, and then I ended up loving it.
Of course, everyone does. It's like it's like the roller coaster you're afraid to go on. And then when it's over, you go, come on, let's get back online again. You know, it's a lot of fun. Jokes, Drinks, and Storytelling, the channel on Twitch called me and said, hey, you want to do a podcast? We're trying to fill our time slots. And I said, how many podcasts do you have so far? And he said, 10,000. And I said, I am so not interested in doing a podcast. I have no interest in it whatsoever. And I was on the marathon, the telethon that they did. And I'm in a writing group, and every writing group, we start off with an improv with a word. And we did it on the telethon. And they said, well, how about doing that thing you did? Bring on some comics and just do that. Let's see how that goes. So I don't call it a podcast. I call it a game show on the internet or whatever. And that's actually how it started. And then we just keep changing rounds, rules, see where it goes from there. But it you're right. It's a lot of fun. It's nerve wracking, but in the end, once you start walking, you're suddenly running with it. So it's a lot of fun. You were great on it, as was Frank.
Thank you. Is there a way to play a quick round of one of them right now? Or is it?
Sure.
We do it?
Okay. Yeah. All right, you ready?
I'm nervous. I don't know what this is.
He'll explain. I have to re-know too, so relearn.
Well, I just give you a word, and you just, for about 60 seconds, you riff on it, and you have to stop when the 60 seconds is up. It's originally meant for comics to loosen up their head for writing. They may actually come up with a bit, because I could say pretzel, and then they end up talking about the price of gas. But somehow it connected and got all the way there.
And you're allowed to say the word in this one, right?
Right. So I have rounds where you don't say the word, and other comics have to guess what you're improvising on. There's different kinds of rounds. So, for instance, Kate, since you're never nervous, if I just, so I sometimes I look around the room and I just say, okay, do 60 seconds on vacuum.
Okay. I hate vacuuming because I, for some reason, don't know how to do it. Like, I'm ashamed saying it right now. I try, but I always feel like I'm about to set my entire house on fire. Like, I swear I put the bag on, I think correctly, but somehow smoke starts coming out. And I probably need a new one, but I'm quite frugal at the moment. Like, I have just other needs. So there you go. I'm not the typical home woman who knows how to vacuum. I always feel like I'm setting my house on fire when I try.
Well, I think what you need to come to terms with is that the last time when you bought that, it was probably from a door-to-door vacuum cleaner, because nobody uses bags anymore. I'm surprised you can even find them in the store when you have to empty it out and then reuse it.
That's part of the anxiety, is finding the bags.
Yeah, I would spend $80 and get the most amazing ones now, because they don't come with bags anymore.
And Kate, did you say you're not that type of homewoman?
I don't know what the word, what is it? It's like a homemaker. Homemaker.
Oh, homemaker.
So you don't, it's only a homemaker can vacuum.
If anyone watching and Kate's birthday is coming over to her, get her a Roomba, because then you just put it down and away it goes. And they're not 100%, but they're 100% easier and better than using a vacuum.
So you can trust the Roomba? I've never seen one before. It just travels around your house when you're not there, vacuuming stuff up, and it's.
Yeah, yeah. I work it. Yeah, Frank.
Did you just say she's got a birthday coming up?
I said if she does.
Isn't it a little Mad Men to buy a woman a vacuum for her birthday?
No, not a Roomba. But Frank, here's how I look at it. If we're all looking for equality, you shouldn't have taken it that way.
Oh, That's true too.
I'm just thinking of my friend.
I would have gone with a Swiffer because that feels more gender neutral.
That's hilarious. Right. That's hilarious. Yes. In fact, that's what we should call people now who feel gender neutral. I think you should start that. Oh, so you're a Swiffer.
You're a Swiffer.
Yeah.
Are you a dry Swiffer or are you a wet Swiffer? Would be the next question.
That depends on what kind of mood I'm in.
That's exactly.
Swiffer wet all the way.
Jaws. Nice.
Yeah, thank you.
All right. So do this. You're the host of this, but I'm kind of your co-host right now, buddy, in this game show. So are we allowed to get, can I choose? Well, who wants to go next?
You can choose.
Well, I guess we'll say Frank, since CG, you're still kind of learning. I think you get it now, but you know.
And you know what, Kate? I've never done this before because I usually have it planned out, but give Frank a word.
Violin.
Violin. I mean, when somebody says violin, the thing that I obviously think of is music and instruments, right? Also maybe child prodigies. It always seems like if it's a child prodigy, if one is a child prodigy, they either play the piano or the violin, right? It's always some sort of stringed instrument. There's that great old joke from like 80 years ago where what's this? Violin in the world, right?
I hate that. Sorry.
Yeah, but I don't know if there's like a secondary definition for a violin.
Well, a big one would be a cello.
Big one would be a cello. It also makes me think of like just through association, like Frank Viola. Or the color violet. Like
Viola Davis.
Via is such a cool kind of letter grouping via something. Like I love saying via StreamYard. The show is going to be via StreamYard. Like I love VIA. So there's something about that VI something, which also happens to be the first two letters of my last name. Thank you.
It also, now this is where Bob, my sidekick, would go.
Meaning I was going over.
Yes, but it's also very simple to sign language, violin. It's a great, you know, it's very...
nice.
Yeah, it just flows, violin. It's actually a pretty word. Very good. CG, right? Yeah. Are you nervous because Kate's going to give you?
I think I'm going to suck at this.
That's even funnier.
Is it?
I think so.
Like my last word sucked. Wait, isn't it Frank's turn?
Okay, Frank, you give us.
CG, I think it's important that you do suck at this so you don't ruin the curve.
Okay. And you know what? I love
if you
that
do
you
do too well, we might have to throw your score out.
I love that you, I may actually ask you on the show. I loved how you said Siege. Can we start calling you Siege? That's a great nickname.
Yeah, that's what everybody does after a while.
Oh, okay, cool.
It's much easier.
So Frank, you give Siege a word.
I give Siege a word. Technology.
Ooh.
When I think technology, well, I like to brag that I shoot everything in 4K. Like I got the phone that shoots in 4K and stuff like that. But then everybody does now. What else? like if you're sending me videos and they're not in super high definition, I'm the snobby guy who's like, this isn't 4K. And then somebody told me nobody can watch it anyway because nobody has a fucking 4K TV. So it's not that great. Some people do, but I mean, if you're putting a video on YouTube and it's 4K, it doesn't matter. Technology.
You have 55 seconds left.
I'm waiting. I'm waiting for robots, the robot dog, the robot dog that the NYPD had. I'm waiting for those to come back out. Okay. Because I want to see robot dogs fucking everybody. Nobody else, everybody else thinks it's not cool and it's inhumane and everything like that. But I love the robot dogs. I want to see movies about the robot dogs.
I think that's another gender. You know how they have labradoodles? What would a robot dog in like robo-oodle or raboodle?
You know, buddy, when he said that he's shooting 4K, I thought the definition of 4K was that you raised $4,000 in crowdfunding for your festival film. So that's how you were shooting in 4K.
It could be a race. You're running and suddenly you pull out your gun and you start shooting. So you're shooting in 4K.
That's true. That could happen.
So Kate, do I have 10 seconds to just do, I'll do the second round and you guys all have to guess what up, because that would be the second round.
What do you mean? You want to do the second round?
There's three rounds.
I'll do the word. I'll improv on the word and you guys have to guess what I'm talking about.
Oh, okay.
So now I have to think of a word. You know, I go up and down on this word. I really do. And sometimes I feel very open about it. And sometimes I'm kind of closed about it.
I know.
I can be hot and cold with it.
Bisexuality. But
for the most part, I feel very comfortable with when this is right. And sometimes I'm very open. I don't even know it, and nobody says anything. So what's the word I'm talking about?
Well, the first two lines, I thought it was elevator.
Interesting.
But then you started to bring temperature into it, and I'm like...
And sometimes I feel very open, and people notice it. Rarely do they let me know, though. This is the best. This is a fun round, right? Are you? Should I tell you?
Temperature and open.
I just thought of a door, which is like most typical when you just said open something. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I mean,
up and down, which is why Frank said elevator.
Zipper, a fly.
Yes. Siege gets it. A zipper.
Siege. Point to Siege.
Sometimes I'm open and I don't even know it, and people won't even know.
Bisexuality.
I know. Same thing. We're coming up with better terms for people.
Sometimes I thought you just switch sides sometimes. That's what I
was thinking. Buddy, that was one of those kind of ones that if your therapist was watching, they'd be like, that was a very interesting exercise. That you're just sexual. Sometimes you're open, sometimes you're closed.
Yep.
Temperature. That was a very interesting metaphor.
That was great.
So that's when the word is. And the last round is usually I give you a word that is a ridiculous, nobody uses it, but you have to pretend to know what the meaning is. But like salubrious. And then everybody tells me what they think salubrious means.
CG, what do you think salubrious means?
The root word is soluble. And therefore salubrious is something that's soluble in most solvents.
Jesus, he knows how to play this game.
Oh, man, that's a great game show answer.
Yeah, I'm going to have you on.
I don't think that's right, but that is such a great game show answer.
Oh, so Frank wants to challenge you. Frank, what do you think salubrious means?
I really don't know if I had to guess. I would think it has something to do with embroidered speech or presentation.
How about you, Kate?
I think it's when the pores on one's vagina starts to become overly salacious.
I'm gonna vomit. She's talking about vagina sweat. You guys didn't see you taking that turn, did you?
I will say that today is Friday, so I hope you all have a salubrious weekend.
I hope Kate does.
That's what it means. It means have a wonderful, have an exciting, have an exuberant, salubrious. So I hope you all have a salubrious weekend. There you go.
A great sweat.
You were kind. You were the closest. Weekend. I usually pick someone who's close. Kate was actually the closest to that one.
Thank you. All right, so now people know how awesome And the Word is, so check that out. We'll plug it again at the end, but...
Sure. It's every Thursday, 3 to 4.
Yes, and they can find it even after, though. Even if it's not live, they can still look it up on YouTube and things like that.
Buddy Fitzpatrick, YouTube, yeah.
Yes, and then now Frank has his Night Meds podcast, which is all about the paranormal, which I am very obsessed with. And I want to talk about, before we even go into some of the topics that I want to discuss there, I want to say, I just found out Buddy, because Buddy and I have been friends in the comedy world for a while, but I just found out that he can see people who have passed. And I consider that a gift. He does not communicate with them yet.
Except by screaming.
No. Well, they
that's
have
what looked, I would do. It,
here's something, Kate, and I know we're not getting into this yet. You're going towards Frank, but they do look at me. Some of them have looked at me.
And how defined are they in their human shape? Is it like a light human form kind of thing?
Mm-hmm. It's very specific. I know they're not really there. It's not like someone sitting in the chair, but it is like someone sitting in the chair, but there's usually around them. And this is very rare. I'm talking like I see them every day. I don't. But the ones that I have, there's usually some sort of glow around them, defining them.
So like an aura. You said, Buddy, that they wouldn't be sitting in a chair. Like,
no, if they're sitting in a chair for a moment, I can go, oh, but it's not like a like an actual living, breathing human being. There's something about them that's not fully materialized. They're not that specific, like all of a sudden somebody popped into my chair. I know immediately it's a vision or whatever. I don't know what you call it. I really don't know.
I thought you were going to say, I know immediately if someone popped their ass into my chair. I thought you were going to say that, like you in your chair, like tight, like that. But no, I got you.
And usually what happens is they're doing something. They're looking at something. Or one time somebody was doing this. He was bent over and he was doing this. And he literally, I couldn't stop looking at him. And he went like this. And he looked at me. And then my heart just popped. And they fizzle.
Wow. That's when I would have peed all over myself. But that's me. That's me. If I get that gift one day, I'm going to be shunned by all my friends because I'll just be covered in piss and just screaming all the time. And I don't know.
Well, it's funny, Kate, you call it a gift. I know what you mean, and I wish I could embrace it like that, but I can't yet. I don't know. Maybe I should really try to, but it scares the hell out of me.
I think respecting where you're at and not pushing yourself is the important part, because you might be scared for a reason. And when you interact with the other side, there are some deities or beings that can have a lot of negativity to them. So I think just your work could just be owning it as a gift for now, but not having to stretch it further until it naturally happens because the universe knows you're ready. I want to know when you first started seeing them and if you've ever recognized one of them, if it's ever
been. Can I just say before Buddy answers that, I think it's awesome that when he sees these entities, they're performing Meisner acting technique independent exercise.
They have an activity, Frank.
Right, they haven't. What's your activity, Myra? You've been sitting there for 87 years. What's your activity?
No, I don't recognize them. The first ones I used to see, I was a kid in my bedroom. But I remember when I was married, I was at my in-laws. I had a gig, you know, and it was in the middle of the night, and there was this. It was up in the ceiling, and that was the old man feeding or planting seeds or what have you. He was very specific, big thick mustache, very Italian, immigrant type look. And the next day I told my mother-in-law about it. She was the only one that saw it because I couldn't go back to sleep. And she pulled out a picture of her father. And I'm telling you, it was him. Mm. It was just him. Mm. So I didn't recognize him. She recognized him through how I explained him.
Wow. That's amazing. Well,
is it?
Yes.
No, it is. That's why I've had you on the show twice, because it is actually amazing. And the thing, and not to kind of step on Kate's thing right now, but the thing that I find equally amazing is how regular guy you are about the whole thing. right? There, you don't present it with a lot of mysticism. You don't present it with a lot of fear. You don't present it with a lot of awe. You talk about it the same way that you recount something else that you just saw. A basketball game you enjoyed, a comedy set you enjoyed, a street scene that you found interesting. You recount it with just that sort of, you know, level-headedness and respect too. I think the word respect was used earlier. And I think that's the best part of it, because so often when I have like people on the show, you definitely get that sort of, you know, levitating mystical feel to their kind of presentation. You don't have any of that, which I like.
My girlfriend calls me, and annoyingly sometimes she'll call me this, the mayor of Realville. Look, if I see a show, it's happening, it's there. You don't go, oh my God, I'm sitting in a comedy club and I'm looking at a comedy show, whatever. To me, it's just, it happens. It has happened. Again, it's rare. I'm just recounting in the, like you said, Frank, as if I'm telling you, yeah, I made a cup of coffee and here it is right there. I have no doubt what I see. So I don't feel the need to overemphasize. I'm not trying to convince anybody, but two, if you do overemphasize, that's when people go, all right, calm down. You know? All right. I think you're a little crazy. So maybe that's in my head. Like, don't overdo this. Just tell people what, and I don't tell people. You, your show, Frank, and now with Kate, was me actually, other than very, very close people, is me now sharing it.
Yes. I wish you had started levitating at the end of that. I'm just a normal man. And then like,
or I went like this and I just popped.
Yeah.
And I will clap back to say, as somebody in recovery, that there were times in my past when I came out of a blackout and was like, oh my God, I'm in a comedy club watching a show.
Wow. Nice.
So it wow. does happen. It did happen. I'm just letting you know. You can just come to in a comedy club and go, wow, look at that.
Wow. Oh my God, I am here.
Oh my God.
Yeah, that's funny.
So let's talk a little bit more about Night Meds. And Frank, what made you want to explore the paranormal world so much?
Okay, well, let me thumbnail this real quick. So with the pandemic, everybody raced online. You know, I mean, it was pretty much our only option except for, you know, a handful of outdoor shows and the occasional indoor show with like 8 asterisks next to it. You know, you have to be this far apart, only 6 people in the room. You have to wear the, which is fine by me, by the way. I'm totally, you know, team liberal pandemic response. So but I started like 3 different projects, all of which are still kind of around. The first thing that I started during the pandemic was my game show, the Dollar Store Movie Game Show. And I do that on Zoom on Tuesday nights. And that's the only reason I'm saying all this is because if anybody watches and they want to be on any of these things, please feel free to contact me, because I love having both comics and civilians on. So the Dollar Store Movie Game Show is like a trivia show with a riddle at the end. And the hook is the winner gets an actual movie that I bought at the dollar store. That's what you're playing for. So that started during the pandemic. Night Meds was a podcast that I had had on and off for like 5 or 6 years. I had done it when Broadway had a podcast studio downstairs next to the service bar. Then I moved it over to the Strip and used their podcast studio. You'll see that Yeti mic in the background. You know, at one point I had visions of like using my own mic and SoundForge to do my own podcast, but having no technical skills whatsoever, that never really happened. And then kind of like Buddy, this is where our stories kind of become similar. When Mark and Richie started Drinks, Jokes and Storytelling, he's like, hey, do you still do your podcast? And I'm like, nah, it's on hiatus. You know, I've been doing it on and off for years, you know? And he's like, well, listen, if you want to bring it back, you know, we got this umbrella subscription network. We're getting going on Twitch. Used to be for gamers, but now everybody's using the platform and there's about a dozen shows on and it would be great. And so I brought it back through at their invitation, and I'm grateful for that, and started doing it on Twitch. And then like a month ago, maybe even just 2 or 3 weeks ago, maybe even less than a month ago, I started doing a sports podcast on Mondays as well. So now I'm like Joe Internet Content with the sports podcast on Twitch on Mondays at 4, which is called the Best Darn Sports Podcast in Astoria, and the game show on Tuesday nights on Zoom at 8, and then Night Meds, which is probably the most longstanding, and how we all know each other, the podcast, which is different incarnations, but now is also on Twitch on Wednesdays at 4 o'clock. So that's all that stuff, just so I could get that all in one neat pile in case there were other questions about that. As far as
Frank and I have a lot in common, because all we want to do is show up and do it. I don't want to learn all the technical crap.
No, not at all. Yeah. And I don't even want to learn what I'm supposed to be talking about on the podcast. That's how bad I am. Like, I am fascinated by, like, you know, back in the days of sitting at a bar after a show with two or three or four comics and talking about something that has nothing to do with comedy.
Yeah.
And you find out everybody's opinions and experiences about it. And sometimes it's other. I've also always enjoyed just sort of horror movies and paranormal stuff and stories like stuff about Ouija boards and Slender Man and all that kind of stuff has always caught my eye. So that's where it all started. It actually started out, the very first incarnation of the show was called Alien Genesis, because it was about whether or not the whole ancient aliens thing, to take a look at that. That being said, I don't particularly believe in any of it. I just enjoy discussing it, and I'm not particularly well versed in any of it. I'm kind of much better in going, oh, Kate, you know all about tarot cards. That's awesome. Go.
Right.
And stepping back, and
you should have one called What Do I Know?
Right. And then every once in a while, I'll get the bug to do the research and do the deep dive down the rabbit hole. And I'll do that mostly about conspiracy theories and stuff like that. Or if I'm dedicating an entire episode to something like a Ouija board or haunted phone numbers you're not supposed to call.
Oh, I like that one.
Yeah,
we that's did nice. That one. Give me yeah, some of them. I want to try.
Yeah. That's so cool.
Or
that's
Slender Man or specific conspiracies. But more often than not, it's just me finding totally cool, slightly outside the box individuals such as yourself and Buddy and saying, oh, you see dead people? Oh, you had an accident and now you can see colors and like talk to people three states away? Awesome. Be on my podcast.
Yeah, got it. And then you learn from it all while they're on your podcast.
Right. Yeah.
Well, I want to know.
I just really like, Frank, how you separated society into comics and civilians.
Yes.
That's what I liked.
I've done that for years. Comics. Don't we all do that? Hasn't everybody used comics and civilians?
Does that work? Does that work? Or because I loved it, but.
Well, actually, if you want to get technical, Siege, it's comics industry, because they get their own class, and civilians.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
There you go.
That's hilarious. Okay. I want to know, which conspiracy did you go down the rabbit hole for in terms of research? Because some of the ones I'm interested in a lot, but I'm very interested in, I believe the Bigfoot Sasquatch. I completely believe in that. I believe in a lot of stuff.
Right.
I believe in Loch Ness. I would love to hear about Slenderman more if you...
No. It's not Slenderman. He's not a lawyer. It's Slenderman. It's not Slenderman and Associates. Hey. Slenderman.
Fatman and Slenderman.
Slenderman and Slytherin is the law firm.
Get Slenderman on the phone.
No, it's Fatman. Fatman and Slenderman.
That's funny.
They're the best lawyers.
That's right.
He's the best there is.
They're the best lawyers, and they did all their prep work at Hogwarts.
And one, it's the good cop, good lawyer, bad lawyer. Here comes Fatman. He's the one that's going to pressure us.
But to answer your question, I did a very deep dive on Ouija boards when that first came up. When that was a while back. We haven't even done that one in its reincarnation. That was back at the strip. We did that one.
I use them.
Yeah, I did a deep dive on Slender Man. I found it very fascinating that something that is obviously was obviously a contest that started online, now so many people believe is real. Like, you can trace it back to the actual contest where they said, manipulate a photo and create a monster, which this guy did. And now there are people that believe it's been willed into being, so to speak. My favorite—
Like a Barbadook or whatever they're called.
Right.
Babadook.
My favorite, my favorite thing to make fun of, and I don't make fun of most of these, but is that Mandela effect. I just think that's the stupidest thing in the world. Where, you know, I remember it differently, so somebody must have changed the matrix. I just think that's stupid. What else? And I have always just sort of classic monsters and all that sort of thing. Like, I have a vampire encyclopedia. I actually own a book called The Vampire Encyclopedia. That kind of stuff has always fascinated me. But I would say the deep dives were about different conspiracy theories when we talked about them. Slender Man, Ouija boards. There were probably other deep dives, but they're not coming to me right now. But yeah, that sort of thing.
Anything you've learned since re-picking it back up on the Twitch stream that has blown your mind? Other than Buddy seeing dead people.
I don't know if there's anything I've learned. I think what's interesting about seeing people when you do these on Twitch or Zoom versus a podcast where if they're not in studio, you only hear them. I think when I was interviewing people and I couldn't see them, the position that I took was sort of a respectful skeptic. The position I took was, you know, prove it. You're making the claim, please prove it. I'm not trying to say that in a rude or dismissive way, but please prove it. I think now when I see people face to face instead of just hearing them, it is amazing how earnest they are in their recounting and that they truly believe it, regardless of whether you believe it or whether or not it could be scientifically substantiated or not. So the experience of like, of that has been very interesting to me, just realizing how genuine people are that believe in these phenomenons. And so if
can you imagine having that sensitivity and political talk these days? I understand how you feel, but prove it.
Yeah.
Instead of, you're a fucking racist.
Well, but not only that, it might be like the difference between when having Kate on my podcast 3 years ago, I might have been like, all right, well, you explained the accident to me and I understand that you had the accident, and but like, what have the doctors said, and what is there anything scientific that backs up your, and just the way that I like I asked the questions or the questions themselves might have made somebody go, oh, well, he's clapping back at her a little bit, you know? Whereas now it's just like, it is so obvious to me that you experience whatever you experience for whatever reason, whether it's out here in the universe, up there in the ether, or in here in your head, that you genuinely experienced it, that as a host and as an interviewer, you have to approach it differently. That's the thing I've learned.
Yeah, and just to let the listeners know, because I've definitely talked about my accident, but maybe not for years. No, it's all good. I'll just remind people. Frank's referring to, there was an accident years and years ago that really woke me up to other realities, aliens existing, and so much more. It was very jarring, but I went into the experience on Frank's podcast. So yeah, there was an event that totally shook me awake. But yeah, I was very cautious, especially back then, talking about it, because you don't want to get called crazy, and you can't even handle the pushback until you are certain of your truth,
right? And
what's going on. But I think it's cool that you have a podcast about the paranormal, but you have that kind of approach. I think it'll make people listening or watching trust you more, and just It's not just everyone believing it just because you say you're something. You can say you're psychic, but yeah, I mean, prove it, right?
And that's how it used to be. And it's kind of like the feature became the bug or the bug became the feature. I've never quite understood that saying, but you know, it's like, it was more like that back in the day. And I think now between the pandemic and everybody being able to see each other, it just became, that became a sort of new development. Now, that being said, I don't think that like I now suddenly believe more in Bigfoot than I used to, or the Loch Ness Monster than I used to, or that 9/11 was an inside job, you know, or that we faked the moon land. I mean, I'm not sure there's that any of my answers to these questions, if they had been asked of me previously, have changed since doing the podcast. But the enjoyment that I've got out of talking to people about it and the way that it's affected me and the way, and the, just the conversation, I have found that very enjoyable and rewarding, right? So I don't know what Buddy sees, right? But there's a very good, and I'm not gonna sit here and say he doesn't see dead people, you know? But just the fact that we're even having a conversation about it, and it's sort of like, well, you can't prove it to me, so you lose the debate. I think people take that tack. That I think that's kind of outdated now. I would hope it's kind of outdated now.
I agree.
Can I jump in here real quick?
Yeah.
So I grew up watching the Andy Griffith Show. Just bear with me. It just meant a lot to me because I didn't have a big parental influence in my life. So I actually glommed onto this freaking sheriff and the way he dealt with this kid. And there's an episode where Opie, the little boy, keeps coming home and saying, "Dad, there's this guy that lives up in the trees.
Right.
And he jingles and he makes sounds and he can blow smoke out of his ears." And the father, as the episode goes on, gets more and more irritated at the kid. And to the point where he's like, "You need to knock this off and you need to tell me the truth." And Opie is just, "I am telling you," he's adamant. And towards the end, you know, the father comes down and everyone's like, did you spank him or did you punish him? And he says, "No." And they're like, "You mean you believe him?" And he goes, "No, I don't believe him, but I believe in my son. And sometimes you're asked to believe in things that really you don't understand. So I believe in him." Mm-hmm. And of course, at the end, he's walking through the woods and it's this telephone guy. He's got jingles on him. He comes down, he can do a trick with the cigarettes and he blows it out. So it all made sense at the very, very end. But sort of, Frank, I just jumped to that because you never really disrespect anybody. And if you're watching a show for that purpose, that's a completely different show. But the people that you have on, you're really interested in why they believe what they believe or how they believe what they believe, not I'm going to prove you right or wrong.
Right. And I think what I've started to realize is I don't know what you see or why you see it, but I realize that you see something for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what that reason is, right? And we can bring people on and other people can say, well, science.
His buddy's a medium.
Right. Or somebody else can say this, that. But I think that's.
In everything.
Right. So I'm just saying, I think that's the new sort of. Oh, my goodness. I can't find the words. I think that's the point that I've gotten to where it's like. It may not be something that I would think would happen to people or that I've ever experienced. But I realize that you believe it, and not just that you believe it in your head, that there is something there. And how cool would it be to find out what that really is, right?
You know what, Frank, all these words, I'm sending so many spirits to your place. Let's have a little fun. Let's have them start, not like a mean haunting, but maybe a little fun. You know what I mean? Like, let's pick it up a notch. So maybe you believe more. So if they listen to me, I'm sending them your way.
Right. I mean,
can I have some fun hauntings?
Yes, there are.
I feel like they're horrifying and traumatized.
I interact with spirits and it's friendly. So
well, the other thing is too, that's kind of weird about the whole thing is that whole sort of Houdini school of thought, where Houdini wanted to speak to his mom so badly after she passed that all he did was spend the rest of his career debunking fraudulent mediums who kept promising he could, and each and every one of them he would out. But it was not because he wanted to out these fraudulent mediums. It's because he wanted so desperately to make contact with what was beyond, and he couldn't, and they were promising him and other people something they couldn't deliver on, often making money off of it. And it's, so I think maybe that's sometimes why people get a little bit more analytical about that sort of thing of like, well, listen, if you're running an angle, if you're trying to get clicks, if you're trying to get likes, if you're trying to make money off of it, then, you know, let's expose that as well.
Well, let's say
maybe that's why people get a little more.
Just like in any other career or just even like a certain hobby where groups of people collect, you will have good eggs. I don't even like to say it's that simple. You will have people who are psychic, not psychic. You'll have some people who are psychic, but horribly mean and unhealed and misusing powers. You know, you really have to feel into, if you're going to use a psychic or a medium or someone in that field, or even therapists or something, you have to really feel into that person if they're someone you trust, if you like their energy. And I've been burned by a lot of healers, psychics, etc., who I just said, oh, you can see, you know, into the beyond. Well, you must be good. I did the same thing with veganism when I was vegan. Oh, you're a vegan, you must be incredible. Like, you
still have to. Isn't that also the person, right? Like, you have one person that looks at Reiki and is like, oh my God, this is healing. And another that's like, oh, massage without touching, that works. Right? I mean, sure.
But like Kate said, you can do it, look, as comics.
Right.
I can be sitting with a comic because I just met them and we had a great show. And an hour later, I'm like, oh, wait a minute, this person's toxic. I gotta get out of here.
But the one thing, you know what? I want to re-answer. The one thing that I did learn. Here's the one thing that I did learn. And I think believe this, and this is brand new. So it only took me 13 minutes to answer your question.
That's a bad luck number.
I know, right? Is we did an episode on remote viewing, and there was somebody from Vice who had done an episode about remote viewing, and he had interviewed somebody, and he said, well, listen, the whole thing about all these talents is everybody has them. It's just whether or not they're aware of them and what they do with them. And it's akin to musical talent. Every human being on the face of the planet has some level of musical talent. Some people can't carry a tune in a bucket. Some people turn out to be like concert musicians. It's sort of like, what's your inclination to take advantage of it? How aware of are you of it? How much do you work on it? And what stops the person who's not into music from being different from the child prodigy? They all have some level of musical skill. And I think that we all have some level of psychic skill, some sixth sense, some perception, some level of something beyond the five senses. It's just some people are more in tune with it than others, and some people work on it while others don't.
And it's also karmic constitution as well. But I want to move on real quick to the real life Iron Man article I made you guys look over real quick.
All right, wait a minute. Let me get my pen and paper.
I read it.
No, you
I actually read it.
You didn't even have to read it. I just didn't want to spring a topic on you guys that, in case you wanted to know a little bit more, because I used to kind of do that to CG. And sometimes people want to know a little bit before they're talking about it. But basically, all I'm going to say is they've seen what they think is an Iron Man like person, a man in like a jet suit flying through the skies, but unidentified. Like, it's kind of messing up air traffic, because if a plane's flying and they see something, that could be pretty terrifying, because they don't want to collide. That's some pretty serious stuff. But I just wanted to get your guys' thoughts on it, and if you guys would ever put on an Iron Man jetpack suit thing and attempt that. I mean, he's doing it illegally, so that's a whole other thing.
I can't even go to the top of the Empire State Building safely. That's not going to happen. There's no way I would ever. I have a friend who owns a small plane, and a couple of years ago he took me out for my birthday, and that was nerve-wracking. I did it. So no, up there in free man's land, no. But I would still wear a mask. Because COVID's airborne.
There you go.
But no, I would never do it. What are they looking at? What are they seeing? You know, here we go again, right? It could be testing. It could be undocumented, trying to figure out a new way to get in. Who the hell knows? But
very sensitive.
Thank you. I mean, I have no idea what. I mean, they're seeing something. Here we go again. Bigfoot. You said Bigfoot, Loch Ness. They're seeing something.
I wish it was the Loch Ness monster in a jetpack.
In a jetpack. it's more realistic that it would be Bigfoot in a jetpack.
There you go.
I would definitely use the jetpack, and I'd try to figure out right away how I could commit crimes with it. But like, nothing's really coming into, because I'd want to become a supervillain as fast as possible after I got the jetpack. But then right now I don't have any ideas of how I could use it. Like, I guess you just rob a convenience store and then you fly away. So like, shit, dude, what do we do? Like, he flew away. And I'm like, yeah, I just got $60 and, you know, a couple 40s, you know, but whatever. But that's how I would use it to just start a life of crime. It's just too hard to start a life of crime just being regular. So I would, if I had a power like that, I would, that's how I would use it.
It's not right, a power. You can get a jetpack. Go get one then and just start doing that.
I feel like they're highly expensive.
It's not a power.
And the fuel might be highly expensive as well.
But Siege, that's like saying, you know what I would do if I had a car? I would rob banks and then drive away. I wish I had that power.
No, true.
You do have that power.
I feel like flying away is better. Like, even when the cops come, it's not a car chase anymore. They're just like looking up. They're like, what the fuck? You know, like they're just kind of gone. So I do feel like it's better than a car escape. But the problem is to fund my jetpack, I'm going to have to first successfully rob a place to fund the jetpack. So, I mean,
just go on Etsy.
Figure it out.
Go on Etsy or Amazon. I think they have some. You'll have it by tomorrow. Come on.
That's did true. You ever play that?
One day shipping.
Did you ever do the post on Facebook? I am this old. You'll take something and say, I am this old. Like,
no.
Yeah. It would probably be like, when I think of a jetpack, I think of Gilligan's Island and not Iron Man old. Right? Like, when you say jetpack, yeah,
I love that.
Gilligan in the thing with the two handles.
Yeah, yeah. And Skipper. Yeah.
So that's one thing. The other thing is, I don't know about the rest of you. I'm a little disappointed. By now, weren't we all supposed to have like jetpacks and flying cars and all the rest of it?
at least
Jetsons by 2021.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, Michael J. Fox on the hoverboard in Back to the Future 3. What happened to that? And then I think the big question is, how come in movies the computer always has a British accent?
It's just classy.
Right? The computer inside Iron Man's suit has a British accent. Why is it always British accent?
Hal wasn't British. Hal was like very ASMR. Hello, Steve.
Oh, right. How are you today? Yeah, that's true.
Today?
I think they were doing that, though, to try and make it ominous because he was the computer was the supervillain.
Right, that's exactly right.
And not reassuring.
Well, there also is that movie with, it's called Rocket Man. It was very good, actually. Who was that? I forget the guy's, something Campbell.
Yeah, I remember that.
And he had the jetpack and, very cool.
And so
movie.
What did he do with the jetpack?
They were trying
people. Was he a villain? Was he?
If I remember correctly, he was part of a test experiment, but he became a superhero.
If I remember my screenwriting 101, there was at least one comedy scene where he flew through a barn door that was shut.
And the cow went like this.
Right.
Yeah, I do remember that.
The scene had to be in there.
Oh, yeah, right.
That, I don't want you to think
he had to fly through something that was shut at least once. If we're going with like comedy, like screenwriting 101.
That's true. I don't want you guys to think that on my crime spree, I wouldn't, if I saw like, an old lady getting her purse snatched, I wouldn't stop and defeat those criminals.
You would.
Well, also, if I saw some crime being happening on my way, I would do it.
You would get the criminals.
My crime spree.
And then you would take the purse.
You also realize in the article, and I can pull it up maybe if I can find it here, but the whole thing is predicated on eyewitness testimony where the pilot says, I might have
yeah,
seen.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Might. So this is all about might.
And Frank, that just makes me believe that when they were flying, the pilot went like this. What?
And then the cow did a double
take. Here in Invasion of Privacy, we usually count on that our visitors aren't going to look the stuff up.
Hey.
We usually like to count on that.
No, excuse me. On TikTok, I've also seen at least one guy. He must be a rich teenager or like young 20s. Flying around in a jetpack, so it's not very far fetched.
That was Gilligan's Island.
No,
and they just ran it through a filter.
The teenager. All right. Filter.
You can't believe anything that's under a minute of footage.
What I want to know is, if Sully was dressed as Iron Man, could he land in the Hudson River? That's what I want to know. If Sully was dressed as Iron Man, could he land in the Hudson River?
Jetpacks have been around since the 50s. They are a real thing. So it's not out of the ordinary to believe that maybe, you know, that somebody really is up there. In fact, isn't it crazy since they've been around that long? Now someone decided, hey, maybe I'll go up into airspace. It's amazing that it took this long.
I'm into it. Okay, before we wrap up,
I'm into it.
One more random topic, but we don't have a lot of time.
Okay.
CG and I were talking about a week ago about how back in the day, and maybe some people still do this, but like shotgun hits with weed are the funniest, goofiest things when you think about it. Like I hadn't really thought about it as an adult, but like putting a lit joint inside your mouth is probably one of the most dangerous, stupidest things. And CG was saying that some dudes were willing to take the risk to have a girl's mouth closed because that's who you're doing it for normally. So I just wanted to get your guys' thoughts on shotgun hits and then we're going to wrap it up.
And then shotgun guy was complaining about like the blisters he had inside his mouth. Like you get pretty gross from being the shotgun guy.
That's true. I would imagine. I would think I know if I attempted that, I would definitely burn something. So I just, have you guys ever done that?
I did do that. And to me, it's the equivalent of sipping a soda with two straws. It's just an intimacy that is stupid, but we used to use forks instead of clips. You'd put it in a fork and you'd have the hand on. I do remember shotguns. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I never received one, but I would never put
that. Oh, I've done it.
It's also like inhaling like the inside of someone's body at the same time, because it's not just the smoke that you're getting from the joint. It's their big blow to blow the smoke into you. So it's like steamy and moist and crawling with bacteria. That was another part we never thought about.
Here we are back to sex again.
You know what? It was way back in the day. It's almost like, yeah, you can do it, but you have to be at camp and there has to be booze or wine. You have to be near a lake. And then like how sanitary it is like the least of your concern.
What was it that somebody said, hey, I'll pretend I'm the joint and you smoke me? Who came up with that idea, right?
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Well, I think it actually started, didn't it actually start in Nam with guys actually smoking through actual guns?
Oh, like I don't
sharing
know.
Sharing hits through actual barrels of guns.
Wow. Didn't know that.
Yeah. And then
I never knew how it got the name.
Yeah, I think there's they even show guys doing it in Apocalypse Now or one of those kind of hamburger.
Wow.
Where like, you know, between guns, these guys and Nam are, I'm saying Nam like I was there. I don't think you're allowed to say Nam if you weren't.
I like when people say Nam just Vietnam. To make them sound legit. Right.
And I don't know which, what's the one where Tom Berenger's in?
Platoon.
I think it's Platoon, where they show them doing like the original, honest to God, shotguns through a combat shotgun.
Wow. Interesting tidbit. I like it.
I just learned something. I like
that. Yeah. Me too. Frank, yeah. Every time I leave Frank, I learn something.
Can I tell you something?
Here we go. See, right here, we're going to learn something.
Useful. I am like a fountain of useless information. Like, if there is a fact that you can do absolutely nothing with except just want to check the veracity of that useless fact, I'm your guy.
Okay.
And it's making me nervous because I've reached that age where I feel like I have to forget something old to learn something new. So, whatever, like the useless fact from 12 years ago is going to have to go. So the next one comes in. For example, now I'm going to watch Rocket Man, and something from that movie
right.
is going to replace something from Apocalypse Now.
Gotcha. Yep.
Because I don't have room for both thoughts in my head anymore.
Right.
Can you lose something useful?
No, like see, suddenly, I think what it
you
is.
You suddenly forget how to masturbate. You go to do, and you're like.
Well, then he has to watch Platoon right to figure out how to masturbate again.
You just look down like you. There's something there, like you just can't.
Well, now there's something to be said for body memory, but that's an entirely different show altogether.
All right, guys, we got to wrap this up anyway.
Sorry.
So, Frank, where can they find you? Nightmeds, your StreamYard link.
Okay. So here we go. And guys, anybody who's listening out there, please, if you would like to be a guest on the show, you don't have to be an expert. You can be panel. Please contact me or contact Kate. She'll put you in touch with me or Buddy. Anyway, so my sports podcast is on Monday afternoons at 3:00 on Twitch. My game show is on Tuesday nights at 8 p.m. on Zoom. That's a dollar store movie game show. And my paranormal podcast, Night Meds, is on Wednesdays on Twitch at 4 p.m. And also, if you look at my Frank Vignola Comedian is my Facebook, all my actual stand-up shows and upcoming events and all that kind of stuff that we're going live again, that's all on there too. So I guess that's all you need from me.
Awesome. Buddy, where can they find you?
BuddyFitzpatrick.com, Buddy Fitzpatrick Facebook. And I run reruns of And the Word Is, but it goes live every Thursday on Twitch from 3 to 4.
Awesome.
And watch that show. That show is hysterical.
Oh, thanks, man. And I want you all to be on it, even you, Siege. I mean, Frank and Kate have done it, so you were good today. So come on. Yeah. I'll make a pain in my
Siege, you'll pull a effort. Tom Cotter and win by 12 points.
He got a scary high SAT score, and he was like spelling bee. So he and funny. So
don't do it, Kate.
He did really well today when we played a little bit. He did really well. So there you go.
Salubrious. Salubrious. Have a wonderful
weekend, everybody. Thanks for having me.
Where can they find you?
CG Erickson at YouTube, Facebook, Instagram.
I think he just did a shotgun.
You guys can find me.
You should do a shotgun to end the show.
You guys can find me Instagram at the Kate Wolf, TikTok, Kate Fanchon Wolf. We have a Patreon. It's only $1. You get an extra audio episode and a video clip as well. So check that out. Patreon.com/invasion.
Get them dollars up, folks.
You're saying it over the website. Patreon.com/invasionprivacy. And if you want a healing or tarot reading, kwolf27@gmail.com. Thank you guys all so much.
Oh, you have to teach me how to use those tarot cards, Kate. That's coming up.
I know. You said that's the next tight mess. So, all right. Well, everyone, thanks for listening.
Thank you. Bye.